Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a good old-fashioned Red Sox bitch fest?
I am. Yes, I am. After last night, I absolutely am. Sacramento. Wait, you can't lose to the Sacramento A's. No. When you get a performance like that from our guy Todd Early,
I didn't like losing to the Oakland A's.
Right.
Never
the Sacramento
mind.
A's. Inexcusable.
The Sacramento A's. Just an extra.
Not good.
Kick in the nuts.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, this feels like an old-fashioned Red Sox loss. You heard the crowd last night was pissed.
Real mad. Yeah.
Booing. Who were they booing? Who knows? Probably Greg Weissert. Maybe Cora.
Definitely Greg Weissert.
But yeah. The boo, when they couldn't come through a million different times with runners on base, starting in the second inning, bases loaded, nobody out, Romy Gonzalez, double play. Other opportunities later in the game. Nick Sogard, did Cora send him? Did he go? Did he just get caught? Booing there. Crowd was restless. Crowd was mad. And I get it. They've lost 6 out of 10. They're only 2.5 up in the wild card.
Teetering.
They've fallen to the number three
wild
card.
Can we say they're teetering?
They are teetering.
Yeah, they wake up as the third wild card team. It's been a long time since they've been the third wild card team. Now, I guess one thing you can say is, well, you got Houston there. Houston just had a pretty significant injury. Did you see that ankle on Yordan?
I actually still haven't seen it. Nick was telling me his ankle was like basically touching the ground.
So he touches home plate, which home plate can be slippery. Home plate's like a bunch of banana peels sometimes when these guys come in. And so he went down to step on home plate, and it was one of those ones where like the side of your ankle ended up like touching the plate.
Nice.
Like your foot just completely like bad. Anyway.
And he's a light man. That's not a lot of weight on there.
So he's going to be out for a little bit. So we'll see what happens with Houston over the final, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks of the season. But they're only 2.5 up on Cleveland, who's won 5 in a row. And you're like, oh, no. Like, and then you add that to the conversation that Cora was having the other day about, like, hey, guys, let's not talk about October yet. And, like, it might not be in the cards. And you're like, oh, are we in the middle of, like, a collapse right now?
So Cora thinks they're teetering. Yeah. I think that's clear. Yeah. And you may have liked his comments. I don't mean you, Keith, but
no,
you out there listening may have liked his comments more than I did. I hated them.
Yeah.
But maybe you thought that was an attention getter for his clubhouse. They've not responded. They lose last night 2-1. And Cora was right in the middle of it. So we'll talk about it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. That is your phone number to vent on the Red Sox. Good day to do it. You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there. And do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Big show for you. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday.
Yes, always.
We'll do some Would You Rathers, 11:30-ish. It's on a sliding scale because we're going to be joined in studio today by Jeremy Piven.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
I'm a big fan of Piven.
Yeah?
Yeah, a ton of movies I enjoy from Piven.
I hate to have TV him in, movies. And then you're like, I kind of hate his work.
I hate that. I like him quite a bit.
All right.
And he's in a million things.
He's in more things than I realized.
Yeah.
He's got
no
the show.
Question I'm going to ask. I'm going to give you one question that I'm going to ask him.
All right. Should we crowdsource any questions?
Yeah. If you guys have questions for Piven, feel free.
All right.
We might not use them. I got plenty, but feel free to send them in.
Okay.
No, I wonder, because like just going over his like filmography a little bit, what's the most obscure thing that somebody has been like, hey, are you the guy from? Like, I'm sure in the airport he has people coming up to him all the time.
Yeah.
And most of it's probably like Entourage or like Old School, but I bet there's like a random deep cut where he's like, that was me.
I actually wasn't that.
that was a young me. Yeah.
All right, nice. So that's scheduled for 11:15, but it's a sliding scale. Sometime in the 11 o'clock hour,
right.
We'll talk to Jeremy Piven. On the show today, we have a hashtag Dork Minute at 11:45. Mike Vrabel live right around 1 o'clock. So stay tuned for all of it here today on Jones and Keefe. Who are we blaming for last night, Keefe? There's a lot of options. The offense stinks.
Yeah.
They can't hit with runners in scoring position. I think they're now 4-7 since Roman Anthony got injured. Bregman's been terrible. The whole lineup has been terrible. So that's an option. The bullpen, Greg Weissert, we were talking about this before the show. Milo is here with us today. He mentioned this. Greg Weissert came in and blew Peyton Tolley's debut. He came in last night and blew the home debut.
He ruins most nights.
For Connolly early. So Greg Weissert and the bullpen on the list. And then, and you probably know my answer, the manager is on the list for pulling Connolly early. I would say he pulled him a tot early is what he did last night.
I thought he was a tot early.
He pulled him a tot early. He was at 80 pitches. He made 90 in his debut. I think he could have gone longer in the game. In fact, Cora gave you an answer after the game. We'll play it for you coming up. That acknowledges he believes he could have gone longer in the game. Yep. So who do you blame for last night?
Man, I think they're all pretty good options. I don't think you can whistle past the offense in the lineup scoring one run. Like, they scored one run. Like, you were walking a tightrope, even with the great performance that Early was having. So I would first just say the offense. You know, Trevor Story had 3 hits. The team had 8. Romy Gonzalez 0 for 5 in the leadoff spot. So, and, you know, even Bregman 0 for 4. So you're 0 for 9, your top two guys in the order. You're not going to win a lot of games that way. You know, and so I then, after that, would probably blame Cora, because I'm not going to blame Weissert, because we know what Weissert is. Like, Weissert, like, you can blame him if you want, but he allows inherited runners all the time. It feels like every time. I was trying to look up the stat exactly how many it is, but every time he comes out there with a guy on second base, you're like, oh, he's coming on to score. And that's why, like, Weissert's ERA on the season's just over 3, because that's his ERA. But he's always adding runs to everybody else.
His cumulative ERA is grosser. Yeah,
it's way worse. So, but I would say with Cora, so I'm not suggesting you pitch early 120 pitches, right? Like, I understand you got to baby some of these guys. His debut, he threw 90 pitches. He had a full week off. He pitched on the 9th and then last night, which was the 16th. So he had a full week off, and he was at 80 pitches. And yeah, okay, there was a base runner, which is rare for him. He'd been dominating the A's to that point. But I thought you would have been better off with him and his success that he's had against the A's so far than bringing in Weissert in that spot.
Nick just told me this in my ear. 7 inherited runners have scored out of 27 this year.
That actually is...
Yeah, it gets low.
Yeah.
That's surprisingly low.
It feels higher than that, but even still, okay.
25% of the inherited runners you get scores?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. No, it's definitely
more
not
than
25.
Good. Yeah. Even more.
More than 25.
27?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, bump it up.
Yeah.
Don't run it down, Nick.
33?
Over 25. Yeah, knock that up a little bit.
Most. Say most. No, but that's bad.
It's not good.
But, like, that's also, like, do you blame him or do you blame Cora for putting that guy in? For the combination of taking Early out there going with Weissert, who always allows inherited runners.
So, to me, there are 2 criticisms for Cora last night. One is obvious. He pulled Connolly early, again, a tot early, 80 pitches. Mistake. Like, I blame him. I know not everybody, Lou, wants to do that.
No.
Lou on Twitter last night arguing with people, shockingly not me, but arguing with people last night on Twitter. Oh, you think Cora makes that call? Yeah. Yeah, I think he makes that call.
What, to pull early or to put in Weissert?
To pull early. He definitely makes the call on who to go to, which is the second piece. But let me just hear from Cora after the game. Why did you pull Connolly early when you did?
That's what? Is it more about matchup or pitch count?
It's about the guy that is hitting.
You came in tonight with Early on, like, a hard limit of 21 batters. Didn't want him to see Rooker the third time, or?
No, the game will dictate what we do. You know, that's a good big leaguer that, you know, hits, you know, lefties really well, and the other guys have to do the job.
So he could go longer there if it wasn't the matchup?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay, he could have. All right. He went 90 pitches in his first start.
Yeah.
You just said, Keith, he hadn't pitched in 7 days. He had 6 off days. He hadn't pitched in a week. It was the same team, same pitching matchup. He pitched last Tuesday, and then he pitched last night. He made 90 pitches in his first outing. So, and that was, they pulled him when he was in his MLB debut, and they were up 6-0, and he flew out to the West Coast with the team. Like, there were a lot of other mitigating factors where if that were a closer game, maybe you could have leaned on him more in that one.
Right.
Last night, that situation, you definitely could have. So the obvious thing you'd criticize Cora is for pulling him after 80 pitches. The less obvious one, and you just hit on it, and I think this is equally Cora's fault. What, you had your hands tied and you had to go to Greg Weissert?
He's the only guy.
That's the only righty in the bullpen?
Yeah, no, I don't like it.
So look, it was early to go to Whitlock. I'm not begging for you to go to Whitlock there. You could have, but I'm not asking for that. Slayton came in. He's more of a ground ball pitcher. I probably trust him more with inherited runners on base, though I guess we could dig into that number. And he hasn't been great. He looked great in the seventh inning. There were other options. There were other guys you could have gone to. And then you could have given Weissert a clean seventh. You could have gone to Toley or one of your younger arms in the seventh inning, depending on how the lefties lined up. I think there's two things you criticize Cora for. And the reason I go with him over the offense is he knows his offense sucks right now. He knows they're not scoring right now. You can't F around and give up a run or two because you may not get him back. So stick with the guy who is mowing down the stupid Sacramento A's. He's done it now in two straight starts.
He's dominated. He went 10 scoreless innings against them, and then you have him out there, he gets another out, and then because there's a base runner on, you're like, all right, we got to get him out of there. And it really wasn't a pitch count thing. You know, you could have seen what he would have done with the next hitter or two is what I would have done. And then, like, put it on him. He had a great performance. I don't know how you have a lot of confidence in Weissert, not in that situation anyway. And so, yeah, I think that was a big letdown. That was a mistake on his part. It doesn't fix the fact that you scored one run. You know, like, that's brutal. And, you know, an okay starter on the other side who didn't even pitch that long into the game, so you're already into their bullpen, and still you're able to scrape together one run. Like, that's not good enough.
So, I agree, but I feel pretty good about Whitlock in the eighth and Chapman in the ninth, right?
Feel amazing about those guys, so, even with the recent hiccup.
And I know Chapman just blew a game against
even
the A's.
Still.
But I feel pretty good against those two. So now I need to figure out five outs in the middle of the game. That's what the manager's for. I can put Whitlock out there in the eighth. No brainer. I can put Chapman out there in the ninth when you're up a run.
The sixth and the seventh. What do you do?
The whole thing about your manager is tiptoeing through those five outs. All right, the offense stinks. They're not scoring. How do you get those five outs? He failed. He completely and totally failed last night. Uh-huh. And earmuffs Lou, I apologize to everybody out there, but that's on the manager. So when people say, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Roman Anthony got hurt. Breslow traded away the team's quote-unquote, I see this all the time on Twitter, best player in Rafael Devers. Okay, fine. All those things happen. It's Breslow's fault. They couldn't get five outs in the middle innings last night. That's on Cora. That's why you lost.
No, 100%. And that's why it's funny because people were talking about the other comment that Cora made recently where he was like, hey, if you told us we were going to be in this spot in spring training, like, I would have taken it. It's like, okay, fine, maybe you would have, but if I told you that with 6 weeks to go in the season, you had a six-game lead for the wild card and you blew that, what would you say then? So that's why, like, Lou Maloney is, and I like Lou, let me preface that, but he's fighting everybody on Twitter because that's how many people are mad about it. That's how many people are pointing to Alex Cora, because what else are you going to point to at this point?
Hey, shut up!
He has more bad seasons than good seasons, right? He does. Alex Cora has made way more bad seasons than good seasons.
Playoffs twice.
Right.
Anyone could have made it with the team in 2018.
I was going to say, the 2018 was an absolute wagon. Now, so he gets credit for it, and that's great, but that's also a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know that everybody wins with that team. I'll give Cora some credit on that, but everybody makes it with that team.
Yeah.
2021, he gets more credit, but yeah, he's made the playoffs twice as manager of the Red Sox.
Yeah. He's like last place finishes in there, just mess. And really, for the most part, second half collapses. Right, and usually it starts earlier. They've had so many bad Augusts. That was something we highlighted during the trade deadlines.
They usually have a bad
trade deadline, which is on the GMs, but then that snowballs into just bad on-the-field results.
And I think when they're doing well, we give Cora credit. Cora turned it around.
He started out terribly, and then he did turn it around.
We gave him credit for August. We're like, good. We didn't know how his team would do in August. It generally sucks. We gave him credit for his August. And now, if I'm going to give him credit for August, I need to give him some blame for what's going on in September. I don't think he's impervious to criticism. I know a lot of people think it's all baseball ops. Breslow made that decision. People hate Breslow, and that's fine. I have a more favorable view of Breslow. I'm Bres Pro, if you will. But if you think it's all about baseball ops, then I don't get how you can like Cora as a manager. I heard Wiggy and Curtis talking about this morning. It's a great point. If you think baseball ops makes all these decisions,
you don't need
to pay Cora $7 million a year. I can't give him credit for anything. I can't give him blame for anything. So what exactly does he do? If he doesn't do that, what does he do? And if he doesn't do anything, I'm pretty sure you can fire him if this team collapses.
Yeah, he couldn't get, you know, Rafael Devers to play the field. He couldn't get, you know, so that was one thing. But then we've all, I think, moved past that. And because they finally did call up the young guys, that kind of saved it for him. You know, like Roman Anthony was so good. And now that Anthony's down, that's where they've really run into this issue. And so I think some will try to excuse it away. I'm guessing Lou's one of these guys. They'll be like, well, what do you want? You know, what do you want? He's out. You know, Roman Anthony's out. Look at the lineup. How many games is he supposed to win? It's like, yeah, but you had a big lead. One of the teams chasing you down was basically a seller, and their closer was fixing games.
That's a great point.
So, like, that So that team's going to be, like, there's three wild cards. This isn't, you know, 20 years ago where there's one wild card and you lose out to the Yankees and Aaron Judge. That's not what it is anymore. Like, there's plenty of spots. You don't even have to be that good to get into the playoffs. And it just seems like there's been too many times where they've had a chance and they've fallen way out of it. Or in this case, you're now trying to protect this big lead with weeks to go. And, okay, I understand Roman Anthony. You also have three of the seven best American League pitchers this year, or however you want to break it down. You have the best closer. You have the best setup man. You have Alex Bregman. You have a 30-30 guy.
Trevor Story's having a career, Red Sox career year.
Yeah, Red Sox career year.
Bregman was an all-star.
30 swipes.
Duran was an all-star a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's not pretend they have no talent. Mm. You lost Roman Anthony. That sucks. Let's not pretend they have no talent. There's enough to limp into the postseason, and then let's see what happens. So people seem angry about last night. You can discuss 617-779-7937. Who do you blame for last night's loss? Why do you blame them for it? And furthermore, is this team going to make it? Now, Keith, we got a text earlier at 617-779-7937. Like, guys, what's the point? Even if they get in, they're not going anywhere.
I disagree.
So I also disagree.
I wildly disagree.
All you got to do is get in. It's the baseball playoffs. But let's say they go nowhere once they get there. They still better get their asses in the playoffs and not collapse and miss it.
Now, that's like the ultimate like loser's mentality. It's like, don't even make it.
They weren't winning
it
anyway. Who cares?
That's a nihilist. Sir or ma'am, you're a nihilist. But no, if they get in, I'm with you. Like, the offense is going to be tough to come by. But you go into a series with Crochet, Bayo, Giolito, I'll take that.
Me too.
I'll take that. The 2013 Red Sox won it with less. The 2013 Red Sox won it with Ortiz. That was their offense. The
2023 Diamondbacks made the World Series being 84-78.
Right. And it was like Corbin Carroll and
Ketel Marte, and that's when Zach Gallen was good. But
yeah, right. But like, yeah, they didn't have much. So anyway, I disagree with that. Like, you have to get in. Because I still don't look at like the Blue Jays or the Yankees, or now that Yordan Alvarez is hurt, the Astros or the Tigers. Like, you're going to guarantee any of those teams are winning the American League?
The Red Sox still, even racking up losses like they have of late, they're still second in the AL in run differential. Now, you can say
the Red Sox are, yeah. I was just looking this up,
you could
too.
Say a
the
lot
Guardians
of that,
are a minus 29, yeah, and they're chasing you down.
You could say a lot of that got racked up with a healthy Roman Anthony, and you're not wrong. But they are still a high-end pitching team. You still have three good starters and a lights-out back end of the bullpen. The job is figuring it out in the middle when you have the lead. Yeah. And I know it was only one run, and that sucks, but guess what? I don't think you're going to score a ton of runs lately until you get Abreu back, and hopefully someday, fingers crossed, ALCS if you get there, Roman Anthony back. You might not score a bunch of runs in the meantime. The job is still to win. The job isn't just to shrug at the end of the game and go, well, Roman Anthony's hurt. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to tiptoe through the middle innings, and you didn't. So I'm looking squarely at him, and I'll stand by what I said over the weekend. If I'm not projecting they're going to, they still probably, Keith, have to win five games down the stretch.
Yeah. It depends on what the Guardians
do. If they win out of 11, the Guardians got to win 8 out of 11. And I know they're red hot.
They've won 5 in a row.
I think you got to win like 5. And you should get in. You'll limp
five
in.
5 or 6.
It won't be pretty.
Yeah.
None of us will feel great about it.
7 or 8. Good call.
Somewhere in there. None of us will feel great about it.
Yeah.
But that's what I think you got to do to get in. If you can't do that, if you can't, the manager should be the number one person we're looking at. So again, you can discuss all day long here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. We'll get to some Patriots thoughts coming up in just a little bit. We're going to be joined in studio by Jeremy Piven in the 11 o'clock hour. Would you rather Wednesday? Hashtag Dork Minute.
Wow.
We also have Mike Vrabel live in the 1 o'clock hour as we lead into week 3 Patriots and Steelers. So stay tuned for all of it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Early sets waist high, 2-2 to Kurtz. He swings and misses and strikes out. Nasty left-on-left changeup. Kurtz lets out four letters of frustration, and Early gets his seventh strikeout, and that will end his night. 80 pitches, 5 1/3, and no runs for the A's. Alex Cora comes to get the baseball from Connelly Early, who in his Fenway Park debut was sterling again. He leaves to a fine ovation as the fans rise to their feet at Fenway, and Connelly Early's been awesome over this last week in the big leagues for the Red Sox.
Connelly Early, excellent again last night. 5 1/3 innings, one run earned, though he didn't allow it.
No.
Greg Weissert did. It's kind of his thing. 5 hits, no walks, 7 Ks on 80 pitches. Crowd was into it last night. They turned real quick on the Red Sox. Ugly, ugly loss. Potentially a very costly loss for the Red Sox. Who do you blame for last night? And do you trust them to turn it around and still limp into the postseason? Again, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your thoughts on that coming up. We'll get into Early and what his role would be should the Red Sox get to October. I think that's what Cora was holding them out for, was October. Should they get there. But since we're playing Mike Monaco there alongside Will Fleming in the booth, it was a big night in the Sox booth last
night.
Huge night
in the booth.
We should have mentioned this earlier.
I know. Hogdale.
The Hog.
Hogdale was all over Fenway Park.
He was literally
watching this team right now.
I don't disagree with the Hog. He was literally all over Fenway Park last night.
He was in the booth, but he wasn't mic'd up. I was confused by that.
I saw he was in there. I think he's going to get an inning tonight.
Yeah. They got to worry about him.
They had to talk to him.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so Fleming talked about him in the booth last night.
At length.
Yeah, for sure. But he didn't actually get in there.
All right, well, good.
Hang on. Fleming said late night.
I saw the photos. Bradford had photos of all those guys in there.
Yep.
It was Fleming, Monaco, and Hog. And mm-hmm. It was like, these are the three best home run calls in baseball.
Late night at the old ball yard tomorrow, Fleming tweeted out. Playoff implications off the charts. Hogdale will be on the air with us. This is now tonight.
Okay, tonight's game.
Rumors that Carrabas may grace the presence as well. He says, I promise I will try to get Hog to say eat crap, but he didn't write crap. So, I don't know.
Will's trying to get him to swear on the air? That's his thing?
I guess.
All right.
Well, Will might be looking over his shoulder a little bit.
A little bit.
He might say, hey, as a young whippersnapper, it's a go-getter. He's calling football now.
It is Hog's
maybe
calling card.
Maybe I got to watch my back. So, yeah. He's trying to get him.
What?
Trying to get him canceled.
Will Warren is a dog loser.
He is the new Joe Buck.
Yeah.
Right, doing football and baseball on the same day.
Yeah.
Not a lot of guys do that.
Yeah, no, Will's trying to get him canceled. I get it. Uh-huh. Yeah, get him fired before he even starts. Good move.
Well,
watch
him
back.
Always looking forward to the broadcast, even more so tonight. That should be good.
I have, and this is a potential brag of the week.
And you can't take your eyes off his mom.
I have slid into the Hogs DMs.
Keith. Have
I'm
you?
We're at Fenway
I'm
tomorrow.
I'm sure that's a scene. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in there. But that's good. Any response yet?
Not yet.
You've reached out to him? No, guys.
Look.
Probably sleeps in. My guess is Hawk sleeps in.
He's probably used to Central Time.
Yep.
So, you know, he's here on the East Coast. Probably a big night last night.
My guess is he was getting after it last
you
night.
You know, a lot of ball players. They're out late. They wake up a little late the next day.
Yeah.
So I have slid into the Hogs DMs. We'll try to get him to stop by when we're at Fenway tomorrow leading up to the series finale.
It'll be a nice visit.
I agree.
Yeah.
Red Sox have something in Connelly Early?
So I want to say yes. I also thought they had something right away in Peyton Tolley after his first start, and then he followed that up with a not-so-great start. Not the case for Connelly Early. It is the same team, though. Like, so you do have to factor that in. Like, he does dominate the A's.
Right. If Tolley got two starts against the Pirates,
yeah.
Maybe that would have looked differently.
But you could also argue that, all right, it's a major league lineup, and it is the first time it was a group that hadn't seen him. Now it's a group that has seen him, and so maybe they'd be able to get to him, and they didn't. So, yeah, I like to think so. I mean, these are two guys that sort of got fast-tracked up through the system, and what's not to like? We've only seen two starts. He's given up one run thanks to Weissert in 10 1/3. He's not walking anybody. He's striking a bunch of guys out. Seems to have, you know, a bunch of different pitches that are effective. So, yeah, I like him. Like, I'm not going to go crazy and be like, hey, you don't even need to bring Giolito back next year or whatever. But if you have the three guys at the top of your rotation back, obviously Bayo and Crochet are back. We'll see what happens with Giolito. But if you have Toley and Early and or whatever, like, I'll take that.
Maybe Harrison.
And maybe Harrison. And like, yeah, like, and honestly, competition's good. Let those guys kind of fight for it. And whoever the two best guys are in spring, get the job. But another name that I certainly wasn't factoring into a potential playoff run or like the rotation to start next year. He wasn't on my radar.
I mean, look, Peyton Toley wasn't on my radar in April, but that's a name we had heard about throughout the year.
Well, because we kept also hearing towards the trade deadline, all right, he's your top pitching prospect. So you're like, okay, we knew who that was.
So that one was at least, you know, on our radar. Connelly Early was not on my radar until like 2 weeks ago. Now, maybe that's me having my head in the sand. I don't know. But like a couple of weeks before his first start, wasn't even on my radar at all.
But looking at Sox prospects.
Never mind coming up and pitching the way he has.
Sox prospects, they do a great job. They have their they rank every guy in the system, basically. So if you can pull up their top 60 prospects just for the Red Sox. And obviously, some of those guys have graduated on. Some of them haven't, right? So, like, for example, Peyton Toley is still the number one prospect in the Red Sox system, according to Sox prospects. You know where Connelly Early ranks?
Fifth.
Eighth.
Oh.
Right. And he's already up. He's already leapfrogged a couple of guys who are pitchers. Now, some of them are, you know, Kyson Witherspoon just got drafted. But there are a few other guys that are playing in Worcester or playing in Portland that he is ahead of, or he's below on those rankings. So that's why we weren't really talking about him a lot. And then he shows up and two starts in, and he looks like he belongs.
So look, you may not even get to October. If you do, you may not need a fourth starter if you get bounced early by Seattle. And the way that would work is you're right now, season ends today, you're going to Seattle for three games. You got to win two there to advance to the divisional round. So when would you even need a fourth starter? I don't know. But he's your fourth starter in the postseason, if and when you need it as of today.
Well, yeah, because in this is going to sound like not really a compliment to him, but if it's not him, who is it?
I mean, I think...
I think it's Toley.
I don't either, because with the one pitch that he has, it's electric.
The heater?
That's going to play a lot better out of the bullpen. Yeah. And Early does, to his credit, even if he doesn't have the ceiling of good Peyton Toley, he's got a good pitch mix. And that works more as a starter, where Toley's been a little bit exposed in that regard.
Yeah, and I think just the idea of having him come out of the bullpen, you'd maybe feel a little bit better about, you know, to get a tough lefty, get a spot in the order. If the biggest issue right now for Cora is the sixth and seventh inning, add that to the mix, right? Can you put him in there? Right, because if the starter can go... I mean, hopefully you're talking about the starter going six, and then it's really just the seventh inning for him to figure out in a close game, and, like, you should be able to do that.
We were talking about the reliever coming in there. If Cora's hands are tied and Breslow and Baseball Ops demanded he pulled Early at 80 pitches, which is not what Cora said, and Early pitched more in his first, like, I don't believe that, but maybe you do, fine. He didn't have to go to Greg Weissert.
No.
He didn't have to do that. We gave you the numbers earlier on Weissert and the inherited runners that he's allowed to score. This year, it's 7 out of 27.
Yeah.
Slayton, who has not pitched great, looked really good in the seventh last night in a clean inning. Slayton has allowed 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
So who's the better righty to bring into that spot? Maybe it's hindsight, but Slayton's probably the name. Brendan is in the car. Go ahead, Brendan.
I got a few things concerning the pitch counts. You know, you talk about getting through six and all that. Let me just give you some... I'm a really old guy, so I go way back. Let me give you some information from the past and see if you can explain it.
Great.
Last season in Major League Baseball, there were 28 complete games. In 1 year of his career, Bob Gibson had 28 complete games.
Ah, okay.
And I wonder what Nolan Ryan's record would have been if he was on 100 pitch count.
Oh, why? We're going to have to crunch some numbers on that, Brendan. But
I'll do you one better.
Yeah. How many did Cy Young pitch?
In 1884, Old Hoss Radburn had 73 complete games.
How about that?
So every time he got it, he closed the game
Bob
out.
Bob Gibson, kind of a wuss by comparison, actually.
11 shutouts. Yeah. Do you know how many innings, Brendan, that Old Hoss Radburn pitched in 1884? 678 and two-thirds.
It was a bit of a different game.
Unbelievable.
Then, with the dead ball and all that.
Yeah,
it was the dead ball. I agree.
He was only 5'9". You know, he was still ripping it.
You know the name Mike Marshall?
Of course.
Mike Marshall was a damn good pitcher.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He also got a PhD in kinesthesiology at Michigan State.
Sure.
Wow.
And he oftentimes said that the more pitches a pitcher throws, the stronger his arm gets. It's not the number of pitches. It's the delivery.
Got it.
The way the arm turns and
the
all
mechanics.
This kind of stuff.
Got it.
Certainly.
And, yeah, okay. So I think, Brendan, let me put a bow on this. I think you disagree with Cora pulling early there. I think is what he's saying. You think that's what
pitch
it is?
Pitch him more. We can boil that down.
Maybe he's
more.
Less critical of Cora and more the direction of baseball and the analytics and trying to protect these arms where you try to protect them, but they all get hurt anyways. Okay. So
old Haas that year?
Yeah.
60 wins. You think anybody's going to top that?
I mean,
he had 60 wins.
If you're going to go to Bob Gibson, you might as well go to Old Haas Radburn.
You know what his last thing on Old Haas Radburn?
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what his WAR was that year?
10.
19.2.
Yeah.
No!
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked up.
It was a different game. I understand.
I looked up our
better
guy,
game.
Hollis Thurston. You may know him as Sloppy Thurston.
I do know him as Sloppy Thurston.
I looked him up. Not as many complete games as I was hoping.
That's
for.
A shame.
Yeah, he did throw 28 complete games in 1924 to match the great Bob Gibson.
Pretty good.
But the numbers left a little to be desired. They might have overpitched.
No, he
him
wasn't
that year.
Great. Yeah, yeah, no, it was too
380
much.
ERA.
Could have been too much.
Yeah, I would have dialed him back a little bit. Maybe pull him around 80 pitches. Yeah. So there you go. Good stuff there on the analytics in baseball, the direction of the sport. It has changed quite a bit over the last
golfing.
Century. Yeah.
Rather than golfing, did he have a WAR or was he fighting in a WAR? Good point.
Oh, well,
a lot of these guys also did both. They'd throw a complete game, fight some WAR.
Well, back. He might have gone to like three different WARs.
He might have been in any of the WARs.
Yeah, Old Haas might have been in the Civil War.
I was going to say,
I shudder to think of which side he was on, but he might have been there.
I'm not going to ask him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask him.
Please don't.
Yeah.
And then,
turned into a whole thing.
I mean, he could have World War I's in play. I don't think he
the
was
War
making it.
War 1812. He might have been kicking around in. He's in, yeah.
Good point.
But a Hall of Famer nonetheless.
All right, well, good insight, as always, on the phones. We like to have conversations with the callers. We've been called out for not having conversations with the callers, so let's have a conversation.
That was great.
At 617-779-7937. More on the Red Sox coming up later today. Let's mix in a quick thought on the Patriots. They have an opportunity, Keith, to pull off something they have not since 2022.
Wow.
We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, the tackling was atrocious. That's kind of like a requirement of playing defense in this league. I mean, it was awful. And I know that the Dolphins are little jitterbugs. But here's the thing with the defense through 2 weeks. And again, it's just through two games. So I don't know where this is going. I assume it's going to get better. If you think this is about Christian Gonzalez not being out there, you're fooling yourselves.
Greg Bedard on his podcast. If you think Gonzo is going to fix everything on defense, you're fooling yourselves.
Whoa. I think he'll help. I feel like the best defensive player on the team who plays corner when you've given up almost 700 yards passing would help quite a bit.
I mean, me too, but he's saying their issues run deeper than that.
So I do feel like
he may not mask everything. He's going to fix some things, but he may not mask everything is his point.
So he's not obviously wrong about, you know, like the missed tackles. Like they've missed so many tackles, but they've gotten a decent pass rush. And I didn't know if they would. Like going into it, you're like, all right, they've beefed up, you know, Milton Williams, Robert Spillane. I'm thinking, all right, maybe you stop the run a little bit better. But they've gotten after the quarterback. Harold Landry, I think, has looked good through two games. Right. Like Harold Landry, I thought was a little bit more of an afterthought compared to the other signings, and he's been pretty good.
I was about to say he's been the best one. I mean,
Williams was
good last
week.
But yeah,
the milkman.
But he's been better than I thought.
Milkman has been really
Tim
good.
Or the milkman. Yeah.
No, but I feel like Gonzalez, like if you just watch this team, just the defense for the last two games, and you're like, all right, they can add one really good player at one position, who would it be? And you'd say corner. Like I'd be like corner. Like Alex Austin, I liked Alex Austin in preseason. But that was preseason, that was spring training.
We were double A guys.
Not spring training, but that was training camp. Yeah, we were. But like, all right, now the games matter. Now it's real quarterbacks. It's real receivers. Let's get Gonzalez back out there.
So, look, they need to get their defense cleaned up going into this week against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's been a mess on defense. I saw a stat today from Dan Orlovsky, of all people. But when you run away from TJ Watt, meaning the opposite side of where he's lined up, the Steelers are giving up like 6 yards a carry. So I think that lines up well with what the Patriots want to do. I think it's like 2.5
yeah.
when you run at TJ Watt. They've been brutal defensively these first couple of weeks. So the Pats should take advantage of it. The question is, can they slow down Aaron Rodgers? Can they slow down that offense? I think they can, but we're going to find out because I would have thought they'd slow down Geno Smith.
Yeah.
They didn't.
No.
I would have thought they'd slow down the Dolphins in that offense. They did not. Meanwhile, Keith, the Steelers game this weekend.
I thought you were going to update these old Haas Radberg stats.
Well, there was one I wanted to bring up. Yeah, there one that jumped out to you?
There's two things I want to point out real quick. Sorry, before you get to the Steelers.
Yeah.
As somebody on the text line points out, a single season war record for pitchers. He says Rich's great-great-grandfather, Tim Keefe,
wow.
who was a Hall of Famer, had a 20.2 war in 1883. Old Haas Radberg, the aforementioned 19.4, and then Pud Gavin.
Oh.
It had an 18.4.
Pud Gavin.
Also, as somebody points out, Old Haas Radberg died at the age of 42.
Oh, so
Old Haas never even turned.
He was an old for a ball player.
Older Haas.
Yeah.
Also, according to
I think I was going to go somewhere different with that. Yeah. I was going to say he died at 42. It's probably probably because he threw so many complete games.
It might have been.
Probably wore him out. The guy was exhausted.
Pitched himself to death.
Yeah.
He is also known for being the first person ever photographed gesturing the middle finger.
He started it.
Old Haas started it.
That's his thing.
Yeah, there was an 1886 image of him flipping off a member of the New York Giants.
Nice.
Amazing.
Well, you legend. Want you want Moxie legend. And attitude yeah. on the hill. That's his hill. Yeah, that's his mound.
Yeah.
His plate.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I could see him flipping people off. Good.
After he retired, he opened up a successful billiard parlor and saloon.
Well, not for long.
No.
That's yeah. how it couldn't have been a very long time.
Well, he had a bad hunting accident, and he lost an eye. And then, he died.
Oh, so like, what was that pitcher Jones was talking about the other week?
Oh, Abe Alvarez.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Abe Alvarez, I think, was had
the life
an issue from birth. Yeah, yeah.
Of Old Haas Radberg. But anyway, you were mentioning the Steelers.
Bad hunting accident.
Yeah,
That didn't kill him.
No.
But something else did. Okay.
Yeah, at 42.
Scurvy or something like
Could
that.
Could have been.
Okay.
Could have smallpox.
So any more Old Haas Radberg facts you want to toss in there, feel free.
Yeah, please.
He was not alive the last time the Patriots did this, but it was a while ago, Keith.
Okay.
The Patriots have not won back-to-back games since 2022.
Well, they didn't win many games in 24 or 23.
They did not. Now, so believe
certainly
it or
not, consecutive games.
Last year, they won 2 out of 3 against the Jets, Titans, and Bears. That really could have been 3 in a row. They were just a whisker away from 3 in a row last year.
Well, as Mayo said, they played a lot of close games. Like, hey, guys, these games are pretty close.
They sure did. So close but no cigar on that one.
Yep.
They also won 2 out of 3 in Bill's final year. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, zappy game.
Yep.
They lost to the Chiefs, zappy game. They beat the Denver Broncos, zappy game, 2 out of 3.
Zappies.
So they won those in there. But again, close but no cigar. The last time the Patriots won back-to-back games, and they've had opportunities to do it, the last time they won back-to-back, October 30th through November 20th of 2022, they beat the Jets.
Nice.
The Colts with Sam Ehlinger.
Yeah, well.
And the Jets again, led by Zach Wilson.
Was this the boogeyman defense?
Probably.
I think it was the boogeyman defense.
That was the second win against the Jets was the Marcus Jones walk-off punt return, recall that.
That was electric.
So the last time they won even 2 games in a row, that was 3 in a row, it was Zach Wilson, Sam Ehlinger, Zach Wilson is the last time they did that in 2022.
Was that Jets win 10-3?
Yes. Walk-off for Marcus
it was
Jones.
3-3, and then, at the end, Marcus Jones.
Yeah, and as much as Aaron Rodgers isn't what he was, we were talking to Kern about it, Rodgers did look pretty good against the Patriots last year in one of those games. And even week one, now he was going up against the Jets, and I think he was probably super motivated for that, but he looked better. So, to your point, like Zach Wilson, Sam Ehlinger versus Tua and Aaron Rodgers and Geno Smith, that's very different. Yeah, it's very different.
By my count, they've had, and I just did this quickly, they've had 9 different opportunities to win back-to-back since then. I'm not going to count Buffalo last year week 18, unless you count a week one win against the Raiders. Maybe we should count that, actually. But they have not won back-to-back games in their last nine, maybe 10 tries, depending on how you want to count that Buffalo.
All right. So they got another shot at it this weekend.
Another shot at it this weekend.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's what's at stake. Right. You guys can discuss there at 617-779-7937. A reminder, Football Talk on WEEI, presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone, he's back in the original hit series, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight is going to face his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, this Sunday, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Now, I don't know if Jeremy Piven is in that. Maybe we can ask him
when he joins us
in studio. He is in a lot. It's an extensive IMDb page.
Yeah.
Very well decorated. But you can check that out at Paramount Plus. Jeremy Piven going to join us in studio. Coming up next hour, we have some Would You Rathers on a Wednesday as well. Hashtag Dork Minute. So a jam-packed 11 o'clock hour for you here on WEEI. You'll get Mike Vrabel in the 1 o'clock hour. So stay tuned. We'll get to all your feedback and more thoughts on the Patriots, that defense, Christian Gonzalez as well, as we await Jeremy Piven in studio next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.